Welcome to the GeoMob Podcast, where we discuss geo-innovation in any and all forms, whether for fun or profit.
Welcome to another GeoMob Podcast on a steaming hot afternoon from London, also from Milton Keynes, and a much cooler and more comfortable afternoon from Edinburgh. Before we started the podcast, we had this conversation about whether it was better to have the windows open and suffer the noise, or whether you close the windows so that you didn't get the noise in the recording. We've all gone for closed windows, which means it's pretty hot and sweaty, and I think this will be a shorter than usual podcast. I've got two guests with me today in the studio. I've got Tom Armitage, who's a very old friend of mine and an old friend of the podcast as well, and he's the product marketing manager at MapTiler. And I've also got Aries Lutsaris, who's an SEO and GEO consultant and runs a small agency in that space. And for those who don't know, GEO is the SEO equivalent for AI and stuff like that. But we're not here to talk about SEO. We're here to talk about Aries' new project, which he recently launched, called Reading Maps, which is an absolutely fabulous project. But before we start, welcome to both of you to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.
And Aries, you're an SEO guy, but do you have a geography background?
None whatsoever. My geography knowledge is very bad, to put it bluntly.
Okay, what about tech?
Tech, yes. I did a master's in electronic engineering in King's College, University of London. Did a lot of coding, but as soon as I graduated, I realized that it just wasn't my forte. It just didn't suit the way my brain works, and I quickly ran into marketing shortly after.
Right. But now you're back in tech with Reading Maps. So let's start out by explaining to our listeners what Reading Maps is and what it does.
Reading Maps is basically the exploration or the travel routes from movies and books and kind of visualized onto a real global map. So, you know, when people kind of read their favorite stories or watch their favorite movies, they can actually see the real world locations of where these characters go through and live through. And I think people are resonating a lot with that. They find it kind of fascinating from that perspective.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. I wish I'd come up with it myself. So what prompted you to, you know, an SEO consultant, what on earth prompted you to want to build this this project?
Well, that's a great question, but I don't think I should go into depth on the answer. I might get into trouble because Tom and I, you know, and Jeff, we were meant to be having a work meeting, talking about some serious stuff. But I've always been fascinated with the interactive nature of maps. And we quickly kind of started talking personal. And I always thought a great idea would be to have a map that people could input what used to be in those locations, or what used to exist before, you know, construction. And my granddad always used to tell me, "Oh, this used to be, you know, a cinema. This is where I met your grandmother for the first time, where we shared our first kiss." And you know, you look at it now, and it's a coffee shop. So, but the issue with that, I think, you know, launching something like that is people actually have to populate their memories. So it'd be hard to kind of get something really well done and really emotional. And then Tom, and I'll let Tom explain this, but he mentioned that he tried to recreate a book at a, you know, I think it was a spend of £500,000 or something, you know, recreate the travels from a diary. And that's really what sparked the idea. But I'll let Tom explain that better.
So yes, we were chatting away in the meeting and I was talking about some of my past and working at the University of Edinburgh. And what I got into was a lot of the work I was doing with the Digital Humanities Department. So back then, EDINA was getting government grants and government funding to do these big projects about harnessing the Edinburgh's geoparser, which would read text. And this is back in 2016, so, you know, a good... Wow. A good 10, even more years ago, that they were training this model to read books and pull out places and determine what was different between a place name and a person's name. And does it mean Perth in Australia or Perth in Scotland? These sorts of problems were all being tackled by some quite cutting edge technology back then. And they had this huge project. There were eight people involved, from visualization experts at St Andrews University through to literature professors at Edinburgh University. And they were recreating locations. The project was called Palimpsest. I think most traces of it have been erased from the internet, unfortunately. But there were a few bits and pieces left here and there of maps that would follow Samuel Johnson's walk from London up to the Western Isles. And there were lots of other things involved. But as I said, it was a huge, huge project. Lots of people involved. But it was very exciting for me at the time, using QGIS to map books and show all these sorts of things. And it got a lot of interest at the time, but obviously has sort of died off. We don't have a government that funds these sorts of projects quite so much these days, since all the universities now have to fund themselves from the tuition fees. So I thought it was a bit of a shame that it disappeared, but obviously it sparked something in Aries, and now we have this.
So does that library or do those tools still exist that Edinburgh created, or not really?
I think I don't know what's happened to the geoparser, but of course a lot of this research laid the groundwork for things like machine learning. And increasingly, you have less and less input into telling the model what to do. And now I'm hearing Aries' story, this is what the AI is now doing for us.
Okay, so we'll get to that in a second, I think, Aries. Before we get into the technology and everything, who is this targeted at? Who are the people you're aiming to reach?
I think you know, readers, book lovers. I think because with movies you can kind of visualize it already, you know, through the screen. But I think when you're reading, you can't really. It's hard, you know. A lot of books do become movies and films, but some of them don't. So I think that's when people are like really fascinated. And I have people reach out to me for book requests, and you know, I'll do it. And I've been exhausted these last couple of weeks, and I'll do it. And I'll send it, and they're like, "Thank you so much. I have three more now. Please, can you do these three?" And I'm like, "No," but I love it. And I'm like, "Okay, cool." It's like it's fascinating.
Yeah. Right. So, I was going to ask how you select the books, but you just sort of indicated that after the initial kickoff, you've got people writing in and saying, can you do this book? Can you do that book?
That's exactly it. So I started off with 40 of the ones that I thought were the most popular or that deserved really to be showcased, you know, like Around the World in 80 Days, Moby Dick, etc. And then I think, you know, I was asking Tom, like, what do you think of the site? And he said, oh, you know, James Bond would be kind of, I'd love to see some James Bond movies. So I think probably, you know, 40 to start. And then Tom suggested, I think, you know, 20 or so movies from James Bond. And then from then on, there's 527 roots, you know, movies and books live at the moment.
Wow.
So there's about 460, if my math's failing me, 470, you know, that 460 or so that have been requested.
That's amazing. That is just amazing. And it's only been going for a few weeks.
Yes, I think 2 weeks max. We were featured by Google Maps Mania to start off. I think that was, you know, a couple of days in. And today I just spotted, someone just told me, that we were featured on Morning Brew's daily podcast. And I didn't realize, because we had a massive spike to begin with, you know, 12,000 people on the site in one day. And then yesterday we had, you know, even crazier numbers, and I didn't know. And then someone just pinged me a couple of hours before this podcast saying, oh, Morning Brew, because they already knew about the site, right. And then they spotted our Morning Brew and they let me know. I was like, oh, wow.
So you've got 500 plus books on the site now.
Yes.
Have you read them all?
Not a chance. I wish I could. I wish I had the time. I've probably read, I don't want to even embarrass myself, but maybe 20 to 30 max.
So how do you get extract the places and the modes of travel?
Yeah, so I'm not even, you know, going to sugarcoat this in any way. This was to start off with the MVP especially, it was a pure AI play, as in the sense of I just wanted to create something just to see how it turned out. So I started with Claude and I had Lovable. So I was asking Claude, how should I build this? What prompts should I use for Lovable? And then kind of built the MVP. I was chatting to Tom since, you know, this idea kind of sparked when we had a back and forth, and Tom, you know, kind of taught me a lot. He was saying, oh, this, you know, shouldn't really cross here because this is a boat travel and it's crossing, you know, it's touching the edge that it's going over land. So I was like, okay, Tom, I'll fix that. Went back to Claude, went back to Lovable. Ever since we kind of put it out, you know, Lovable did break a few times. Claude went in circles. So my cousin is a developer, Fabio Moreira, and he's been helping me. And that's it. I think like Claude, Lovable, amazing at creating MVPs. But then when stuff starts to get serious and starts to break, I always think you need a real human developer in the mix.
So you were using, I mean, apart from developing the technology using AI, which listeners will know I've been doing quite a bit of this year, you were using AI to extract the places and the routes.
So I started off manually. And then kind of going through, you know, Google searches and trying to find, you know, summaries of the books. And then I thought, actually, let me try with Claude just for a select few. And it did kind of 90% there. So I then kind of went back to manual. So I'm trying to optimize the process, but I think it requires kind of two steps, maybe kind of using AI to create that first batch and then researching and going to depth to make sure that all of those locations are correct or not.
Right. Okay. This sounds like a lot of work.
And I've been very impressed as well, actually, with some of the issues. Obviously, there's a few things you've come to me and said, oh, help, or what do I need to do here? Very impressed that on your own, you spotted and managed to fix the whole meridional problem of crossing the international date line.
Wow.
Maps love to throw you back right across to pick up the journey. So you'll see lines on maps that haven't taken this into account go from the international dateline right the way back across the face of the earth and then carry on from the other side. All problems that you've managed to solve are on your own, Aries. So
that's
been fantastic.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
A few weeks ago, I made a map of all the places in Shakespeare's plays. Right. And there's a lot of places in Shakespeare's plays. And when, Tom, you were talking about the work at Edinburgh, I mean, one of the big problems in Shakespeare particularly is to distinguish between York being a place and York being a duke or an earl or whatever it is. You know, because a lot of the characters in, particularly in the English plays, have names which are also places. And that also, I used a Python library called Spacy, which is a named entity recognition library. You might want to look at it, because if you can find the text of the books, you could run them through this quite easily and extract places. But it is a good way of doing it.
That's a great shout. Thank you, Stephen. I've taken a note of that. Thank you.
The roots aren't straight lines. You're not just drawing lines between point one and point two. They actually look like roots to some extent, with bends in the lines and things like that. How do you go about doing that?
Well, my kind of geography skills and geospatial skills are not that great, but it's pretty much based on A-star pathfinding. That's the kind of the nucleus of it.
Right. Okay. And here's your chance, Tom. The base maps are...
Yes. So, obviously, Aries, we looked at the base map offering from Map Tiler, and after the first iteration that Aries produced, I recommended using the aquarelle, which is very similar to the watercolor, as a nice artistic. And the topo one that we actually developed is another alternative that you can use in there, which is a really nice clean look to it. It's not dense with sort of things that probably wouldn't be so relevant for this, like points of interest, but it has all the place names in there and has a nice zoom stack right the way through. So yeah, it's been a help, but also we're now getting more involved in the technology behind what Aries created, and looking at things. We touched on this virality of maps, and suddenly Aries is looking at huge numbers of maps being created on his thing. So we're looking at maybe switching to using the Map Tiler's SDK as the technology that's producing the maps, so that we can switch from switch to the session-based billing rather than the number of map downloads and things like that. We can rely on just a user turning up and logging in, and that's recorded as a single session. We call it the success tax that many projects like this run into, that you build a map, it goes viral, and then suddenly you're waking up with a credit card bill of in the tens of thousands. Obviously, Map Tiler doesn't do that. We cut off. You don't have to put in a credit card when you sign up for a free account. So you dodge these big bills. But also, by using session based billing, this is the kind of map that people want to play around with. They want to explore. So being charged per session makes a lot more sense than per pan, per Zoom, all of these other interactions. So
That prompts a question, Aries. You're getting thousands of users, tens of thousands possibly, and that means lots of map sessions, and you quickly steam through the free tier of your Map Tiler account or any other account. You know, I mean, there are other map providers, but they all have generous free tiers in many cases, but they're all still, you know, if you're successful, you're going to run through those. How are you going to fund this, or are you just going to accept that it's going to cost you hundreds of dollars a month?
Well, that's a great question, because less than 24 hours after launching it, I exceeded my quota.
Oh, wow.
So I then upgraded the plan, I think within 2 or 3 days, in 24 hours, we had 1.2 million tile requests. So I was like, wow. And then when we hit 12,000 people, 80,000 page views. So it meant kind of each user was looking at least seven pages or different maps or of novels or movies. So it's definitely that kind of effect of, you know, once you're there, you just want to keep exploring. So as to how I'm going to fund it, I don't know. I've had thought about monetization. So I have thought because, and this is purely based on people contacting me. So people reach out to me and say, this is on my bucket list. I want to do this before I die. I want to do this route from this movie or from this book. I would love to see all the locations. I would love to travel just as the main character does. And then I'll get someone else reach out. My wife and I want to do this same travel. So I do think it suits kind of a traveling affiliate, in terms of monetization. That's maybe how I'll fund things. But if not, I'm just excited, even for the beginning, without making money, I will still put my own money into it, fund it, grow it, because I still believe it could reach, you know, the levels in the millions. And I'm just working, and I'll shut up very shortly on this, I'm just working on a new feature for you users to actually input their own books and movies, where they can actually trace it on a map, you know, say that, you know, the character goes from this location to this location, but he goes via, you know, and what mode of transport, is it boat, is it flying, you know, and then once they've added that, then it still needs to be approved. But that's potentially how the site could scale, because people are fascinated, passionate, and they want to add their own books and movies and routes to it.
I love the way the routes are animated, and particularly how if a route goes from rail to foot or rail to boat or whatever else, the little icon changes as it's going along. It's really neat. I mean, it's, some purists might say it's a bit twee, but I think it's really neat. I mean, it's great.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, and I think you've done a really brilliant job with this, and I'm so impressed at the user numbers, how it's taken off. You know, I mean, it's, you've clearly touched a nerve here.
I'm in shock, Stephen. I did something like less than 10 social media posts altogether, and a lot of these didn't reach, you know, insane numbers. A few did, but to then have people talk about the site on podcasts that, you know, I think they have hundreds, if not millions of subscribers, and, you know, Google Maps Mania, for them to cover it, I just, honestly, it's blown me away. It really has.
And I wouldn't expect another massive spike after this podcast publishes, because our readership is more, our listeners are more niche than some of those others. But notwithstanding that, hopefully we'll give you another little spike in your numbers. What's next with this project?
Great question. I think that the ability for users to add their own, journeys, almost like a Wikipedia of travel route maps, that I love that, and that's been worked on. And then I like the trivia. So on the podcast, Morning Brew, the presenter was mentioning about how it's like he can see it become a daily trivia thing where, you know, people just kind of go through it and try and, you know, guess or try. So I think something around like quizzes or, you know, where you can, you know, what is the order of the locations of a movie or a book, or even just where they can visualize routes and have to guess out of some options which book or movie it pertains to. So I love that aspect of things. And then, yes, there's quite a few things that I'm just bouncing around on my head, but those two are the immediate kind of go-tos at the moment. Oh, and sorry, a third one. Everyone mentions this to me. So I get, when they request a book, they often ask, can we have a visualization of the timeline? So how long did the character stay in a location? Was it, you know, 2 months and then one day in the next? So could you have like a play button with a timeline that showcases how long exactly the character spent? And then another good friend of mine, this is the fourth one, another good friend of mine suggested having which locations pertain to which chapters in a book. So when he's reading it with his kids, he can actually showcase, you know, while he's on chapter two or three, and he, you know, he can actually even show them where exactly on the map nice. They are.
Nice. Yeah. And, you know, you've got potential to include where they're available, the book covers as well. So much you can do with this. And I mean, it's just a great idea. And the way it's exploded on you is absolutely fantastic, you know, really impressive. So
thank you.
If people want to reach out to you, how do they get in touch with you?
They can just go to the site readingmaps.com, and there's an email at the bottom, or, you know, if you there a book request kind of button or movie request button, but the email is at the bottom of the site, or
okay.
You know, or just typing in my name on LinkedIn, Aries Lutsaris. Yes, those are the two. I'm not on, you know, Facebook and other kind of social media platforms. Unfortunately, I'm not a social media, you know, whiz or fanatic, but LinkedIn or the site itself. And if you don't mind, Stephen and Tom, I have one question for you both, because yeah. I've been inundated with requests for travel routes from Lord of the Rings. And, you know, one guy sent me a request for Lord of the Rings, and he said, my wife and I are going to New Zealand, and we want to go through all the locations. And, you know, I think those are the locations that the movie was filmed in, so not necessary. So what would you do in the case where these locations don't even exist on a real-world map? Should there be a different kind of map for those ones? What do you both suggest?
Oh, great question. Tom?
Well, it's one... Quite often, the fantasy mapping is a huge thing. It really is. And, you know, at Map Tyler, we've done Lord of the Rings style maps. We've done Star Wars style maps. Interestingly, our Star Wars ones tend to focus on those filming locations. So you can see the locations, but we've never strung them together into a route or anything like that. But that is one way of doing it. The thing with fantasy maps in books, they tend to be, you know, in the front cover of Lord of the Rings, Winnie the Pooh, all of these different things that were an influence on me when I was a child, got me into mapping almost some of these things. So, yeah, really, really great idea. I think the filming location so that people can actually go and visit is a really, really good one. Other than that, you're going to have to be dealing with a very different, you know, mapping kind of mapping interface with no geographic coordinates, but I think there are sources of data out there where you can get a sort of a Lord of the Rings map that you could.
Yeah, I think I'm going to interject here that I think you're better to stay in the real world. It's a totally different ball game to switch to a fantasy map, and it sort of doesn't mean anything, you know. I mean, Tolkien drew these amazing maps that are incredible detail, and they're scaled, and the journey times he calculated, and all sorts of things. But basically, you're just jumping off into another completely different area. So I would stick with the real world places. But what I would say is, it's not impossible to find a connection between the places in a book, a fantasy place, and a real world place, even if it's not been filmed. You know, like some of the Shakespeare fantasy plays, for example, and I'm going back to that because I did all this work recently on those, you can find a sort of connection to a real world place to locate some of those two. But that would be my advice, is to stay with the real world places. So in the films, you know, you can just use the locations that they used.
Fantastic.
That would be my advice.
Thank you.
I've got several more ideas, which I'm going to send to you afterwards, Aries, because I think this is such a fun project and you can do so much. Yeah, not saying you haven't done a lot with it, but there are loads of ways to extend and grow this and to sort of bring book lovers and geography lovers together in this space, you know. And I mean, what you said for kids, for particularly, you know, to get kids into reading, you know, the idea of using this as a way of sort of bringing the stories to life in a slightly different way for kids, you know, is a really great idea, you know. Much you can do there. So great. It's searingly hot. We've done really well. Aries, congratulations on this. I'm looking forward to seeing it get to 10 million and 100 million, by which time you'll have to find a way to monetize it, otherwise it will bankrupt you. But that's a lovely problem to have. Tom, thank you for helping Aries to get this off the ground. Thank you for being here to talk about the mapping and the origins of this project. And let's say goodbye and go and get a cold drink.
Thanks. Thank you very much again for having us. It's always good fun. And I'm going to go and get that drink.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us today on the GeoMob podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion. You can get the show notes over on the website, which is at thegeomob.com. And while you're there, you can sign up for our monthly newsletter and find links to our accounts on Mastodon and LinkedIn so that you can stay up to date on all our upcoming events. We hope to see you at an event soon.